How amazing is it that we have a God who is so glorious in his grace that he bestows it upon us. Are you ready to hear where we're going? Have you ever noticed how much hope can be found in a good underdog story? I mean, there's a lot of hope found in a good underdog story. But we think, well, why is that? Well, I think it's because we're really just a bunch of average people, really living average lives with average ability. And really, the truth is, we need to know that the underdog can make it, because there's so many times that we feel like the underdog, right? Whether it's Rocky taking on the giant Russian, or Louis Zamperini overcoming all the odds in a Japanese POW camp, we love a good come-from-behind, overcome-the-odds, beat-up-the-bully story. That's why we love the movie Rudy. Are you familiar with the movie Rudy? One of the best sports movies, I would say, probably in the history of sports movies. My opinion, I understand that. But it's an incredible story. Rudy is the classic underdog story about a boy who grew up in a steel town with a dream of one day playing football for the University of Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Why anyone would dream of playing for the University for Notre Dame Fighting Irish, I'll never know. But still, that was his dream. And he tries out, and because of his refusal to give up and his tenacity, Rudy makes the practice squad. But he never makes the starting team. He never plays in an actual game. But that all changed on the last three plays of the last game of the season of his senior year. In the last play ever as a Fighting Irish, Rudy sacked the quarterback for Georgia Tech. And in that moment, he was enshrined in Irish history. He is only one of two players ever to be carried off the field by his players. One of two that have ever been carried off. And so for us, I love this underdog story. But why do I share it? Well, it's not because it's just an incredibly encouraging story, but I think it's Trinity's story. I think that it's a bona fide 1 Samuel chapter 17, David versus Goliath, underdog story for us to consider as a church. The Rudy Rudiger, right? The David versus Goliath stories are synonymous with overcoming the odds. But here's something to consider. Both Rudy and David had choices. Rudy could have given up on his dream of ever playing in a game. And he could have gotten to the final game of the season and said, well, I didn't start any other game, so why try now? David could have turned around after realizing that Goliath was 9 feet 9 inches tall. And here's this tiny little shepherd boy. He could have turned around. He had a choice. And really, I want you to believe, and I want you to hear me tell you that I believe God is calling Trinity to do amazing things in 2015. But like Rudy and like David, we have a choice to make. We have a choice. We can go hard after God and his calling that he has for us, or we can stand on the sidelines and watch God use someone else to live the dream of being used by God to make a difference in our community, in our world. I believe that we're met with a choice today. Are we going to pick up the stone and the sling and realize that there are things that God is calling us to do if we just trust and obey and step out onto that field? We, as a church, have a choice. Our theme verse for Power of One has never changed. Since the inception of Power of One, it has never changed. And I want you to look at this verse that's found in Isaiah chapter 60. The smallest family will become 1,000 people, and the tiniest group will become a mighty nation. At the right time, I, the Lord, will make it happen. All the glory goes back to God. But the tiniest among us, the Rudies among us, will be the ones that will be a mighty nation. The tiniest group will become 1,000 people. The tiniest family will become 1,000 people. Meaning that there will be opportunities in the Lord's time and trusting in God for us to be able to move forward and advance his kingdom. During my message on September 8th, 2013, I said these words during our Vision 2015 Sunday. And I literally pulled up the slide to show you. This was the exact slide of what I shared. Our 2015 commitment is to continue to solidify and seek out what Trinity's impact will be in our community. We are praying and believing that over the next 2 years, God will reveal a significant plan and ministry that will be unique and specific to Trinity's impact on the community. That was taken directly from that 2015 message that I spoke. Little did I know that in a state of prayer, in a state of desire for God to do immeasurably more and for him to do great things and to give us the power to pick up the sling and the stone, that he was going to reveal what the future was going to look like. So I want to share with you, there was two kind of key phrases in that last line. We desired over the last couple of years, and we kept praying for God to reveal a significant plan and a ministry that would be unique. Now, it's interesting. I want to point out the word unique because in that span of time, we actually launched a ministry called United and Unique. And that was not planned. That's just God, right? You can't make that stuff up. But are you ready to hear the significant plan? Because that's what we're going to talk about right now, the significant plan. I have to start by sharing with you a burden that the leadership has had for the last year and a half. Over the last year and a half, we've recognized that Pastor Xavier has been serving really two full-time positions. He's been working diligently as a youth pastor to TSM students and puts in an incredible amount of hours in programming and planning and preparing and calendaring and all those things. But then on top of that, he also takes on the leadership of CORE on Thursday nights, as well as the initiative into the Brookdale neighborhood. The CORE kids, even on Thursday nights, have a separate calendar, separate communication, separate responsibilities. There's pieces of that that we've begun to recognize that there is a burden that I've started to feel in my heart. I'm the senior pastor of the church, and for me, my staff's spiritual, mental, and physical health are of the utmost importance. I'm not willing to compromise that for my team. And I will go unwaveringly into the future, making sure that my team and my staff are healthy. That's important, folks. And you want that too. Because if our staff becomes unhealthy, then we become unhealthy. And so I began to feel this burden, the recognizing, and the leadership team was joining with me in feeling the burden that we were really asking Pastor Xavier to do a ton. So I started to pray, as you know I often do. And I started to pray a very kind of specific prayer. It was actually out of James 1, verse 17. I'll put that up on the screen for you to see this morning. But it says, whatever is good, and maybe I'm not, yeah, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. And if you remember, I had been praying that prayer, and I often bring that to your attention as well, to say my current prayer is all good gifts come from above. And I began to pray, what does this mean for Pastor Xavier? What does this mean for Trinity? All good gifts come from above, Lord. I need you to help me understand what is the steps in this process because I'm not smart enough. I need to rely on you. And so in the middle of the night, literally, God woke me up, sat me straight up in my bed, and within 5 minutes, shared a vision of what we're called to do as a church. And I scrambled and wrote it down. There's multiple nights where Kaylee, she leans over and she's like, what's wrong? What's going on? You know, are you okay? And there's times where I act pretty hysterical too. but in this particular instance, I knew that it was God who was leading. I got up and I wrote some things down. In the morning, I woke up and I immediately went into a time of prayer, into a time of seeking him in his word. And God, through his word, kept confirming that this was of him and not of me. With all of that, I want to announce to you this morning of a shift that's going to be happening in our staff. Starting May 1st, we are going to be moving Pastor Xavier to a new position that's been created called Associate Pastor of Community Development. And I'll tell you that over the last couple of weeks and months, we've been on a journey, and Pastor Xavier and I have been on a journey, and this is, I'll be honest with you, really difficult for him because he loves his kids, and he loves his youth group, and he loves what he's doing. The good news is we've already actually discussed this with the youth group, and they understand that that we want to continue continuity. And so we're not losing a youth pastor. Pastor Xavier is still going to be a part of the youth ministry here. It'll look a little bit different, but he's still going to be plugged in and continuing the relationships that he has with students. But this role of associate pastor of community development is a huge and monumental role. The leadership team, as we prayed and as we met together, we knew that we were drawing a line in the sand as a church to say that we are going to take serious our role as a church in the community. And in order for us to do that, that we have to step out in boldness and step out in faith and believe that as God has ordained and brought this to us, that Pastor Xavier is the person that's going to help us to continue to grow in our relationship with the community. Truth is, folks, he's already doing it. He's already known, he's already known in the schools. He already visits and goes and meets with Young Men's Club in Matea High School. He goes to Brookdale Elementary School. People are seeking him out to come and to be a part. And the amazing thing for us is 2 years ago when this young family walked in the door and their first Sunday was Power of One, and they said, "We're all in." There was no promise of a job. There was no promise of a ministry. There was no promise of anything. But we knew God was in the works. We knew God was on the move. And we are trusting and believing in all of this. Now, this actually leaves an opening in youth ministry. So I'm going to get to some pieces of this, but I want to share with you that we've already begun the process of filling the position of youth pastor, knowing that that's a really key area of ministry. Fortunately for us, it didn't take us very long because we already have the person that's on the bus. And so I want to introduce to you our new associate pastor of youth and young adult ministry, Pastor Katie. Pastor Katie has a degree in youth ministry from Indiana Wesleyan University. We forgave her for that. We have a little banter because I'm an Olivet graduate. But we're so excited about this because we know it's of God. And Pastor Katie has already been mentoring and working with the youth in partnership with Pastor Xavier. One of the ways that this works out so well is because of the relationship that Pastor Xavier and Pastor Katie have with each other. And knowing that, and I just want to walk through just timeline for you real fast. And there's going to be more information that's going to be shared out as well. But the timeline on this is this will be effective May 1. So May 1st, they will be operating at least title-wise in these new roles. But they're starting May 1st, between that and August 18th, there's going to be a handoff time. There's going to be a baton that's going to be passed. They're going to work in conjunction together for the summer months. They have already have been working on the summer calendar and the fall calendar together. And so during that baton time, there's going to be a joint opportunity there. And then August, after Shaken, which is the youth kickoff school year kind of revival event, after that, there'll be a full moving forward of Pastor Katie serving as the associate pastor of youth and young adult. Pastor Katie does a phenomenal job with our young adult ministries, and we want to continue to build the momentum that's there. But the beautiful part about that is young adults have already come alongside Pastor Katie, and they're building a team that's going to be able to keep sustaining that work. But then also, Pastor Xavier will then shift completely into that community development role. I want to share with you the encouragement that it was for our leadership team as we met together and discussed and put this and what does this look like. The leadership team here is absolutely phenomenal, top notch. You all should be incredibly proud of the leadership of the church. In fact, in the next couple of weeks, we had to postpone our board elections because we really wanted to have more time to be able to pray and to process through the election process for our new board members. So we're going to be pushing that back for just a couple of weeks. But in that time, they began to help me develop an incredible strategy for what a community development position looks like and what our role as a church. We're going to be asking some of you that have insight and wisdom in this area of community development to come alongside and to be a part of a committee, of a board that's going to serve even outside of the Mission Council, that's going to be specific to development opportunities into our community. We're going to come alongside Pastor Xavier and begin to work at what it looks like. I'm going to ask you to hold off on all the incredible ideas that God's already putting on your mind and heart as we begin to shape out and give him time to develop the strategic plan for what this is all going to look like. I have to share with you just a quick story about Pastor Katie. Oftentimes as a staff, we'll gather here in the sanctuary and we'll gather around the altars and we just literally at times lay our faces on the ground and just pray. I love that. I love that about our team because we always boldly go before God and expect him to do incredible and big things because we have such a huge faith. And so sometimes we just gather in and we just literally lie on the ground or put our faces to the altar and just pray and just seek God. And on one particular day, I was walking behind Xavier and Katie, and I had met with Pastor Xavier, the day before, and I rolled this out and just said, this is what God's put on my heart, you know? And we kind of processed through that. And so he had this information, and he asked a very valid question. He said, if we do this, and if I feel God's leading me to accept this, who's going to take over youth ministry? And I said, well, my hope and my prayer is that it would be Pastor Katie. And he said, there's no one else that I would want to do that was Pastor Katie. And what an incredible confidence, a vote of confidence that we have in each other. Well, that's not the best part of the story. So they're walking ahead of me, and Katie has no idea about what's going on, and she leans over to Xavier and she starts talking to him, and I can see her telling him something. All of a sudden, his response was like this. And he looked at her and he was like really puzzled. And I remember as we were walking in the gym thinking, I wonder what she just told him, right? And so as we were walking into the office, I knew it was my opportunity to meet with Pastor Katie. So I walked by her office. I said, hey, do you have a few minutes? I want to meet with you. And she said, sure. So we went into my office and I sat down and I rolled this all out and I just shared my heart where I felt God was leading us. And she started to laugh at me. And I thought, well, this isn't quite the response that I was looking for. But, you know, Pastor Katie's a giggler, right? So she just began to giggle. And I said, Katie, what's so funny? And she said, while we were in the sanctuary praying, I felt God specifically tell me that by the end of the year, you're going to be on staff here full time. Guys, that's a spirit of unity that most places would be jealous of. And I've experienced that, my wife has experienced that, many in ministry have experienced the call of God in our lives. The beautiful part of this and the part where you come to play is that Pastor Xavier, we actually are cutting his salary because we don't have room to expand our salary capacity. We don't have the capital to do that. This is why this was God, not us. But we're actually cutting his salary. And we're moving a portion of his salary over to Pastor Katie to bring her here full time so that she can be full time on staff in youth and young adults. And the other portion of Pastor Xavier's salary is going to come from Power of One, because we're going to take serious the call that God has placed on Trinity's heart to be the hands and feet of Jesus to our community. And so Power of One is going to serve as the opportunity to support a local missionary here on the ground. And we're going to see tangible evidence and opportunities and the reality that God is so much bigger than us. Amen? This is why Power of One is so important. Power of One is such a huge piece because it's such a big arm of ministry and mission. If we're able to band together and really unite together, the things that we're going to be able to do as a congregation are limitless. And I want to tell you that everybody that we've gotten in front of, and we've had a lot of different times and places where this could really have fallen apart, you know, but every point along the journey as we've wrestled with this and we've talked about it, everybody has just said, this is right. This is of God. This isn't of us. And we know that. So when I tell you about what we're going to be doing for Power of One, let me share with you what this is going to look like. And then we're going to wrap up. We're still going to continue to support our global missions. Our global missions is really important. In fact, we're going to be supporting our global missions through the World Evangelism Fund, as we have. And especially, we're going to be building a relationship with new commissioned missionaries, Steve and Ann Sickle. Many of you that have been to Costa Rica, you know Steve and Ann because we've had the chance to interact with them as they were on the Mesoamerica region, and he was one of our coordinators for our missions trips. So we know this family, and just recently at the meeting of the General Board, they were commissioned as commissioned missionaries. Now they're going to be missionaries to Mexico, and through our power of one, World Evangelism Giving, we're going to be able to support them and other missionaries around the world to continue the work of building God's kingdom throughout the world. Amen? And so that's important. I want to tell you, March 18th, the Sickles are going to be here. It's a Wednesday night. We're going to do a global missions kind of event. We want you to come, meet them, know who they are, get to know them. They're a wonderful, wonderful family. And we appreciate the fact that you'll get to know who the Sickles are. We sat, Pastor Tony and I were actually reminiscing about the time over this past summer where we sat in their house on their couch, and I believe Dan was with us as well, and just got a chance to meet them and know who they are. And I spent 16 hours in a car sitting next to him. Poor guy. And that was on a previous trip that I had made. So they're a wonderful family. So let me talk to you about the pledge cards. You notice when you came in this grid of 325 tiles. You notice that there's 325. I don't know if you counted all of them, but trust me, there's 325 pink ones in the ceiling. If everybody takes a tile, now when I say everybody, our goal and hope as a church is every man, woman, and child. And we are going to need people to take more than one. So families might take more than what your family is represented. But if all 325 tiles are taken and you bring back the amount of money that's on that tile, then we'll have raised as a congregation $52,975. That's it. That's it, folks. That's how close we are. That's how close we are. And if we're able to do that, we're able to fund the ministries that we mentioned today. We're able to continue to move forward in areas. We're going to be able to supplement a portion. Now, not all of Pastor Xavier's salary is coming from Power of One. We are still continuing to give him a base salary through Trinity, but Power of One is going to be able to keep him and his growing family. Is it okay to tell them? Do they know? I think they know, right? They've got number two on the way. So Zoe, yes, is going to have, it's okay if I tell them what is, okay, Zoe's going to have a little sister. And so we're extremely excited about that. But those tiles, what we're going to do is I'm going to ask you over the next 2 months to seek God and to pray what he would have you do for Power of One. Typically, we've done it where we've given a week to pray and then come back and bring your pledge amount with you, and then we do that over the year. But here's our hope. On April 26th, so the last Sunday in April, our hope is that you will, between now and the 22nd of March, so 2 weeks, be able to adopt or take one of those numbers, multiple numbers, please. We have to tell you that 1 through 50 has been reserved for the children and the youth. All right? So adults, we want you to aim more to 50 and above. And so in the next 2 weeks, your pledge card, if you look at it, has a grid on it. You can circle that grid, the numbers that you want to adopt or, you know, that to take, and then you can tally up the bottom, down the bottom there. One of the things that we missed was putting that little equation line on the actual return part so we know what numbers that you are going to take. So we're actually going to make new pledge cards and include that little equation so we know what numbers you're claiming. So again, I want to reemphasize that over the next 2 months, this isn't going to be something that's going to happen overnight. We want you to think about, pray about, and then bring as much of your pledge as you can on April 26th with you. Our goal is to have a fully funded mission and ministry come April 26th of this year. and be able to really, really move forward with what God wants to do in the life of our church. Amen? That's the goal. That's the hope. So a part of that is going to be whatever you bring with you on the 26th, we need to have record of that beforehand because we want to update the ones and the grid. So we're going to put a red X through all the tiles that have been taken. And so over the next couple of weeks, you're going to be able to see which tiles are still needing to be received or taken. And then we're going to take ones. The ones that are in the ceiling is actually a giant thermometer. So they're 7 inches apart. We know this, especially my wife and Kathy Lowen and Hosanna and Katie and Adam, who've hung every single one of those ones. It's a big thermometer. So as we take the ones down, you're going to be able to have a visual reminder of how much we still need to do. And they'll be able to go over to the grid and to see what numbers are still left. So we want all those adopted in the next 2 months. April 26th, we're going to do a big celebration offering. We're going to receive as many of the pledges as we can. And then from the 26th, you're also still going to be able to fulfill your pledge monthly over the next year until the end of February. So the goal of that is for us to aim big. Aim big. Trust God. This is, again, it's above and beyond your tithe. This is not tithe related. This is offering related. This is above and beyond your tithe. And so this is sacrificial giving. So begin to pray now about what God would have you do. The other piece of it as well is recognizing that this time of year is actually a really interesting time of year, because by April 26th, you might potentially have a tax return or tax refund coming. Don't negate the fact that there's a potential there that you can, I know you worked hard for it, but it's money that potentially, hopefully, Uncle Sam might be giving back, and you can utilize that for ministry or mission, right? And so the whole point of this is to recognize that the early church, and if you look in the end of Acts chapter 4 and the beginning of Acts chapter 5, it's the story of Ananias and Sapphira. When you say that, all of a sudden people go, oh no, here he goes. The truth of this story is not the point that I want to make. The point that I want to make is recognizing that Peter looked at Ananias and he said, Ananias, it was your land to sell. He said, Ananias, it was your, you had the choice to give as much as you wanted. You didn't have to give us everything. The problem with the Ananias and Sapphira story was that they said it was everything. They ended up lying, and that's what caused them to experience the doom that they experienced. So for us, I want us to realize, just like Peter and John at that point, who was now going to be named Barnabas, sold a piece of land and said, we want to give this to the church. This was not foreign for the church in the early Acts, in Acts, to give sacrificially. And what does it say? That there was no need among them. There was no need among them because everybody joined together and everybody gave to the need. And they gave what they could and they gave what they had. And so for us, I just want us to be faithful to give what we can and to be faithful to all pull together. And I think if all of us, every man, woman, and child, if we all take a tile and multiple tiles, then we're going to see God do an incredible work in, among, and through us. You believe that this morning? Amen. Let's close in a word of prayer. And then it is Family Stuff Sunday, so we want to invite you to stay and to enjoy breakfast. Who doesn't love breakfast on a Sunday? That's pretty awesome. And so we want to invite you to stay and join us for breakfast. And then as we close, we're going to stand. The band's going to play us out this morning. And again, just thank you so much for all your just participating in what God is doing. And I appreciate all of your effort and especially your patience with us. Begin to pray with me now as we work as a staff in this transition. And then we're going to have an official commissioning of both Pastor Xavier and Pastor Katie in May. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's stand together as we close. Lord, we know and believe that you are on the move. We trust and obey, Lord, because you've taught us that when we build our house upon the rock, when the storms come, it will not be blown over. So Lord, I pray right now that each of us this morning, we would be mindful of what it is you have for us. to be mindful, Lord, of what it is you are calling us to do. Lord, to think outside the box and to recognize that if we all just pull together and if we all just move as one, as you have called us to, and through the power of your Holy Spirit, we're going to come back and celebrate a miracle of you on April 26th. We're going to celebrate the funding of mission and ministry to our world. We're going to celebrate what more you can do, Lord, just because of the faithfulness of your people. Lord, I thank you that that you have given us the opportunity to embark on our David moment, that this morning we're desiring to pick up the sling. We're desiring to pick up the stone. We're going to step out onto the battlefield, Lord, and we're going to boldly proclaim that there is nothing greater that's going to hold us back from doing the mission and ministry that you have for Trinity. We thank you for an incredible last year. But Lord, again, we proclaim we're not going to focus on the things of the past because behold, you are doing a new thing. And we thank you for that, Lord. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. You are dismissed.